gentlemen, may I have your attention?
Hello and welcome to Radio Teco News. My name is Monty Rossetti. On today's episode, we get to speak to El Tecolote writer Galicia Lozano. We talked about Galicia's two-part story focused on Puerto Rico, their relationship with the United States, and their continued struggle after the 2017 Hurricane Maria. Thank you for listening to Radio Teco. We want to continue to be connected to our community, so please leave us a rating and review. There's a great chance your review will be read on a future episode. I'm here with El Tecolote reporter, contributor, superstar, Galicia. Galicia, we're excited to talk about this story highlighting Puerto Rico. But first off, let's get to know you. Where are you from? And tell us a little bit about your background.
Yeah, okay. So I'm from San Francisco. I was born in San Francisco. But my mom, her mom is Cuban and immigrated to Puerto, or had to flee to Puerto Rico when she was young. And so she grew up in Puerto Rico and met my grandfather, who was Mexican, in Puerto Rico. And so my mom was born in Puerto Rico and was raised a little bit in Puerto Rico until they moved to the mainland. And my dad is Irish. So I'm Puerto Rican. I just say I'm Puerto Rican and Irish because it makes it easier for everyone else. But yeah.
No, I know what you mean. I have a lot of like family from all over the place too. And I usually just tell people like, I'll just pick one from my dad's side, one from my mom's side, and just be like, that's what we're going to call it.
It's so much easier like that. Yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense. And cool. So now you talk about Puerto Rico and the kind of connection you have. But, you know, the theme in your story is you're talking about, you go kind of an overall history lesson of Puerto Rico, but you're obviously focusing the last few years, especially after the 2017 Hurricane Maria. So this might be kind of a silly question, but what made you interested in writing this piece? What was a light bulb moment that you had? You said, I want to contribute for El Tecolote writing this piece.
So for me, I remember when the hurricane struck, when Maria struck Puerto Rico in 2017, because I was in middle school, because I'm 17 right now. But when I was in middle school, I remember it hitting the island, and I just remember the amount of stress that it was causing me. But I just thinking about the amount of stress it must be causing my family on the island because of that. Like, I remember sitting in class and just thinking, oh, look at me sitting in this warm classroom, super like full of light, full of warmth. And my family is huddled inside of their homes right now, listening to wind striking the windows, rain, everything, scared for their lives, scared for the rest of the island. And I just remember that stress. And after that, I remember the aftermath of, because it was Trump was the president at the time, I remember hearing all about the things that were going on and the way that he was treating Puerto Ricans. I think I talk a little bit about this in my article, how he threw paper towels at the Puerto Ricans on his visit to Puerto Rico after the hurricane. And I just remember hearing all these outrageous things and being super upset. And another thing that drove me to write this, I mean, I've always been interested in politics, but my parents have also pushed me to be interested in politics and history. And I went to the National Youth Congress International Congress of Youth Voices, sorry, when I was younger. And I heard this speaker, Salvador Gomez Colon, who's from Puerto Rico. And he actually spoke about his work as a 16-year-old helping Puerto Ricans gain lights and electricity after the hurricane. And he was super inspiring to me as well. So all of that really inspired me. And recently I read the Juan Gonzalez book, Harvest of the Empire. And that was something that really pushed me to be interested in this. And so I decided I've spent my whole life having to explain what Puerto Rico is, where it is, what it means to be Puerto Rican, the way that the U.S. relationship to Puerto Rico affects Puerto Ricans to other people. And so I thought that this would be a great opportunity to be able to share it with a wider audience.
No, totally. And in your story, you talk about that, how Puerto Rico is a place that, I mean, I think even myself growing up here in like, as you said, the mainland, Puerto Rico was always like, are they a country? Are they a territory? Are they a state? What's the relationship with it? And you do a great job kind of explaining that. And that's what I mentioned, that you did kind of a historical background, kind of going back to the 1899 and everything that happened, the Spanish-American War and all that. Again, no spoilers, because you should go in, the listeners should go in and read the story if you don't know the history yet. But you mentioned two really important things that I kind of want to go into. One was about your family, and the other one was about the federal response. So let's first dive into your family. How was your family affected by the hurricane? How are they doing? And also kind of extended friends. So what was kind of that experience for them in Puerto Rico during the hurricane?
Okay, so during the hurricane, I remember my family is actually very lucky because they live in San Juan in a part that is not very rural. So we're lucky because when the hurricane hit the island, it mostly affected those who lived in rural parts. I mean, it affected everyone, but it heavily affected those who lived in rural parts. And so my family was very lucky because they lived in San Juan, which is the capital, making it easier for them to deal with the consequences. But I remember specifically after the hurricane happened, my aunt was going through breast cancer radiation at the time. And so just thinking about how much, that made my family think a lot about how much the people on the island who were going through specifically like cancer treatment or just medical issues at the time were struggling, because hearing her story, she was right in the middle of radiation. And when you're in the middle of radiation, having to stop is very dangerous. And so she was not able to get radiation for 5 days. And she drove to the hospital, called the hospital every day to see if she could get radiation. But it took about 5 days for her to be able to get it again. And she remembers there was a little girl who was getting treated for brain cancer, and they had to stop her treatment right in the middle. And she doesn't know whatever happened to that little girl. That little girl might have died. And it's just a story that so many Puerto Ricans know, and just so many Puerto Ricans, or just so many Puerto Ricans had to deal with this struggle of trying to recover from the hurricane. And so I know that my family struggled with getting my aunt treatment. And fortunately, she was okay in the end. But we also, another thing that my family on the mainland did was we organized a bunch of packages to send to Puerto Rico. So that was something that was really important that we knew that we could do, because a lot of the aid that came to the island was through Americans or Puerto Ricans living on the mainland, because they already knew like what was going on, because the government refused to do a lot of work to help the Puerto Ricans. So we were able to help them ourselves. But I think another thing that was kind of highlighted through us being able to send packages was the Jones Act, which heavily affects Puerto Rico. And when speaking with my family members about what happened on the island, I remember hearing like just how Puerto Rico had to turn away ships full of aid at the docks because of the Jones Act, which the Jones Act is this act that says that all shipping has to go through the United States. So people from Europe and people from Cuba and the Dominican Republic, places closer than the U.S. mainland, would be shipping things to Puerto Rico, but Puerto Rico could not accept it because of the Jones Act. So I just remember how much that affected people on the island. But thankfully, my family was okay in the end. It was just a very stressful time. There was a long time where we could not communicate with them, and we just rush to gather supplies for them so that they could be okay.
Now, let's also talk about the relationship, the current situation between Puerto Rico and the United States. Explain to us what that relationship looks like. And the reason I would like this explanation is, I think, you know, our society here in the United States, we like to point our finger at other parts of the world, and they have, you know, horrible terms like third world and everything like that. But Puerto Rico is part of the United States, and what we're talking about, and what we'll go into a little bit more about Puerto Rico's situation, is what was the response by the federal government. But maybe someone that's listening is thinking, well, Puerto Rico's their own country. Why are we talking about this? Can you please explain to us exactly what the relationship is between the United States and Puerto Rico?
Yeah, so Puerto Rico is I don't know, it's a commonwealth, I guess is what you would call it, but technically I feel like every Puerto Rican knows that Puerto Rico is an example of modern day colonization of the United from the United States. When you think of a colony, you think of something that happened a long time ago. But it still is going on today, and Puerto Rico is an example of that. Basically Puerto Ricans they are a part of the United States where they can vote, or they can vote for someone who will represent them in Congress, but they don't actually get a vote in the presidential elections. They have to pay taxes, but they don't have to pay federal taxes. They don't get the same benefits as much of the United States, and Puerto Rico, they have U.S. citizenship, and they have U.S. citizenship, and there's a lot of things that connect the United States and Puerto Rico, but the U.S. also distances themselves a lot from Puerto Rico, as I feel like most people know, because it is never taught in schools what Puerto Rico is, besides the fact that Puerto Rico belongs to the United States, or that Puerto Rico is a part of the United States, but it's not really a part of the United States. So there's a lot of confusion around that for many people.
And it's pretty ironic because you said that Puerto Ricans pay taxes, right? So there's that phrase from the Revolutionary War, taxation without representation. But now the United States is doing the same thing to Puerto Rico, making them pay taxes. And yeah, like you said, they can vote for their local government. But, you know, when you have a president like we talked about, Donald Trump, going there, someone that they probably wouldn't even wanted or whatever, is now coming in there to act like a savior. And I remember seeing that video. It was horrible. So let's dive a little bit more into now the federal response after Hurricane Maria. You talked about the Jones Act and how that created, a lot of obstacles. You did a great job explaining what that was too. So this hurricane happened in 2017. So what was the immediate, and we talked about it a little bit, but what was the immediate response of the federal government? And then what's the situation today, almost 6 years later?
Okay, so I feel like I'm going to talk a little bit about what it looked like from here a little bit, because I know that living in California, especially in San Francisco, I talk about this in my article as well, but we are affected by wildfires every year, and there's a wildfire. There's more than one wildfire every year. But the difference is that in Puerto Rico, when there are hurricanes, and in California, when there are wildfires, there's a ton of government response and aid and relief. But in Puerto Rico, when there are hurricanes, or when there's any sort of natural disaster that causes a lot of issues and just like causes a lot of harm, the federal relief is completely different. For example, like what I was saying, that a lot of people were gaining the supplies that they needed from the mainland, from people, because the government was not distributing the amount of relief that they should have been distributing. I talked about this a little bit as well, that Hurricane Harvey, which had struck Texas, or residents in Texas, and Hurricane Irma, which were both before Maria, when they hit places in the United States on the mainland, the aid that was given out was about $100 million for survivors from FEMA, but Puerto Ricans who were survivors from Maria got $6 million each. So just the difference in aid and help that Puerto Ricans are given is huge, and it all contributes to the fact that Puerto Ricans are treated as second-class citizens in the United States, that the United States government refuses to recognize Puerto Rico as a part of the United States when it doesn't benefit them.
No, exactly. That leans into my next question, because the second part of your story is talking about the second-class citizen status that Puerto Rico has. What's the current kind of viewpoint in Puerto Rico when it comes to saying, hey, we want to become a state, we want to become a country? So what's the current kind of voice and conversation going on in Puerto Rico about that?
So there's a very mixed or there's a very mixed group of opinions on what is next for the island. There are many people who are in favor of statehood, such as, there are many people who are in favor of statehood, but there are also many people who want to keep Puerto Rico the same way that it is. And there are also people who want Puerto Rico to become its own country. And there are different good things and bad things about each thing. So obviously there is no easy answer to the situation because Puerto Rico has been so handicapped by all of these years of colonization that there is really nothing that could be done that could simply fix the issue. But the first thing of wanting to stay the same would mean that a lot of the same problems that Puerto Rico deals with today and the poverty and all of the issues of the second class citizenship treatment would continue. But if Puerto Rico became its own country, that would not really be a possibility because if that happened, the economy of Puerto Rico has been so crippled by the United States and by the things that the United States has done to Puerto Rico that if it became its own country, there would be no economy and it would just, the whole thing would be in shambles. It would be a mess. But if Puerto Rico, another option is that people want Puerto Rico to be a state. And that is seeming like the option that would be a good in between. But a problem with that is that if Puerto Rico wants to be a state, almost all Puerto Ricans have to say, we want Puerto Rico to be a state, but there's such a big divide on the island that that's really difficult. And if that were to happen, they would then have to go to Congress and advocate for Puerto Rican statehood. And Congress would also have to be on board. And so far, I don't think this has ever happened in the history of Puerto Rico where both Puerto Rico and Congress have agreed upon statehood for Puerto Rico. And therefore, it has never been really a possibility because it's never really been a priority in the government.
That's very interesting, especially as an outsider kind of seeing the situation going on there. And obviously I don't know anything, so I don't know what would be the best solution. And it seems like there are a lot of paths, but you never know which one's going to be the trickiest one with Puerto Rico right now. Going back to Hurricane Maria, where can people that are listening help people that are still suffering and still, dealing with the after effects of the hurricane? It's kind of leaving the space for you to, if you know of any resources for our readers or for our listeners.
Okay, so I'm not the best with knowing what places exactly to donate, but because I know that my family donated when the hurricane happened, but I was a lot younger, so I wasn't really sure where exactly we donated. But I would say donating is honestly the best way to help a lot of survivors from Maria and just people in Puerto Rico in general. There are so many good organizations that are helping Puerto Ricans because so many people, I remember this was I traveled to Puerto Rico in 2019, 2 years after the hurricane hit. And when I traveled there, I was surprised by just how much you could see the effects of the hurricane 2 years later in San Juan, the capital. I would be walking down the streets of a neighborhood and there would be just buildings that were completely collapsed. And I just remember that. And I was just completely shocked. And I think that, honestly, donation to charities and to places that are helping to Puerto Ricans is the best option for helping out Puerto Ricans if you live on the mainland.
It's always a curious battle going on there with Puerto Rico and what we talked about earlier with the future in Puerto Rico. So yeah, again, Galicia, thank you so much for writing these two pieces. Thank you for coming on our show here and talking to us and educating us a little bit about the situation in Puerto Rico. And we'd love to have you back on if there's any other news going on with Puerto Rico or anything that you're having or you're writing about with the Tecolote. We appreciate everything that you do for us here at El Tecolote. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. It was really nice to talk.
As the podcast of the community newspaper El Tecolote, we think hearing from you is important. So please leave us a comment, rating, and share our podcast to other members of the community. Thank you.